Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. And we just come together today, Lord, to both acknowledge that you are our Father and that you are the one that takes care of all our needs. Lord, you have given more than what we can ever have imagined. And we thank you for that. And as we go to the Word today, we ask you that you quicken our minds and our hearts to be able to receive all the blessings and all the benefits that you have made available to us. The Lord, nothing that you have done may be not received or appreciated by us. But Lord, we may fully acknowledge and know and have what you have done. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You know, the whole series that we've been going through has to do with what the Father has made possible for us to receive. We have been going through, maybe 10 or so weeks of seeing all the different benefits that he has made possible for us as we are born again. Basically, that's it. And there is so much that often people just forget and do not appreciate the degree of love that he had for us. So I want to connect with that today before continuing what we have been talking about. And I'm going to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. You know, here doesn't give us limitations in what God is going to do for us. And he's essentially telling us that anything that we ask him, evidently for things that he's in agreement with, he's going to give it to us. And we can be assured. The word here is saying clearly, then, for everyone, are you included in the everyone, would you say? Yes. See, one of the things that we have to understand, there are some words in the scriptures that we often have problem believing for. It often says everyone, and we really sometimes exclude ourselves from that everyone, or says all, or says only, you know, nothing is impossible to, and we just put limits on the Holy One of Israel, like the Israelites did. And it's our fault. It's our hardness of heart to not receive what he has done for us because we don't believe the word. Instead of taking the word of what it says, we want it to fit to our own experience. When in reality, it has to be the other way around. We have to fit our experience to what the word says. Because when we do that, when we start doing that, we are going to experience what the word says. But if we don't do that, and we don't believe, you see, because the basis of receiving anything from God is faith, is believing. Is believing what? Believing what he says. Believing in his promises. Believing that what he said is true and he's going to keep it because God is faithful. You know, the fact that God is faithful doesn't mean that he's going to do whatever you want him to do. It means that he's going to do everything that he said he would do. So the only thing that we had to do is to go to see the Word. And we know what he wants to do. We are going to see the Word and we know what we can expect from him. But we had to hold on, believing and standing on the word rather than standing on our own feelings on whatever anybody else says. What man says doesn't count when God said something. And we had to understand that, we had to receive that, we had to, we had to acknowledge that, and we had to believe that. And not be moved by other things. Not be moved by our feelings, by what we see, what our flesh, what our eyes, what our senses tell us. Continuing here. Or what a man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give you good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do unto you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophet. You know, many people have a good experience with their parents. Some people may not have a good experience with their father. And they go through a life sometime, even if they're believers, even if they're Christians, with a hole there, with a lack there, that shouldn't be there. You see, doesn't matter even what our parents did, because God is bigger than our parents. God is bigger than all the shortcomings, because they were just, they called them evil, but you know, we may not see them evil, but the things are limited, and they are not going to go to know everything. They are not going to do everything right. But the fact that they didn't do anything right doesn't make any difference. The very moment in which you were born again, your descendants was not anymore in the flesh, but is in the spirit. And that descendants there become so much more important than the physical part of our descendants. There is no previous generations. Our generations goes one step behind, back, and goes to Jesus. We are born right there, and there is nothing behind. See, one of the differences, when we really come into an experience of the power of resurrection that comes into us when we are born again, is that our family is becoming the God's family. We are His children. We are all children of the same Father. And that Father is a good Father, and He only gives us good things. Amen. So anything that was negative in our experience, we should be able to overcome. Just simply connecting with the love of the Father that is poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit. He gave us what our physical fathers could not do, because they were limited in the flesh. They could love us, but even in their love that they had for us, they are limited in the things that they can do for us. And they all made mistakes. But our Heavenly Father doesn't make any mistakes. And when we come to realize that, it's not that we had to put down. You see, what that helps us to do is to, you know, even if there are things that our parents did do, they were wrong. We come to the place of understanding that they were just men and women. And they could just do that much. But we have so much more given to us. That by itself, His love should heal all the wounds that we may have in our hearts. There is nothing in the physical, in the emotional, in the spiritual, that God cannot do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We don't need to go around hurting for what happened in the past. Doesn't matter where it came from. Doesn't matter where come from, family, from others, from friends, from enemies. Doesn't make any difference. God's power is greater than all the damage that they could have done. And He is there to heal our wounds if we just connect with that power and we start understanding, we start receiving it, and we start allowing that to heal whatever things is wrong there. It's just that we had to stop looking at those things and those feelings from the past. And we had to start looking at the Father and Jesus and what they have done for us and what the Word says that they did for us. Because what they did is more than enough to heal anything and to set us free. Free to be the people that He wants us to be. Free to be far beyond anything that we can imagine. Because we are called His children. Because He made us sons. This is what we've been talking about. This is not theory. This is not just the theology. This has to be a reality in our experience so that we start walking as sons of God. Doesn't matter what, if you are a woman or a man. This is what should happen to us. This is what we have been talking about. This is really what should make a difference in our walk today. We should walk in a way that God calls us to walk, with the same identity, self-identity and self-recognition of what God has done for us, rejecting every other thing that God doesn't want, that God has made us paid for us to be free. Jesus paid for His with His life. You know, it doesn't matter what good father you had, it's very unlikely He would have given His son for you. But our Heavenly Father did that, His only Son, because He knew that out of what Jesus did, He would have many sons, not just one. He didn't, you know, God didn't seed as, you know, a son to have servants. God planted a son for us to have sons. So, we've been talking about in Romans chapter 8, you know, some of the benefits, some of the impact of our call to be sons from God. You know, we saw first, you know, the scripture was saying that those who walk, you know, according to the Spirit regularly, they are the sons of God. Okay? Now, you know, then we saw, for example, that, you know, just it's not just the title that we have, but it's an inheritance that we receive. It says, you know, if children, then heirs, and joint heir with Christ. And so it's important really to understand there, you know, that the joint heir is not just the heir that, you know, has to partition the inheritance with others. A joint heir is somebody that has the whole thing together. It's like when you are joint ownership, husband and wife as a joint ownership of a house. The house is not half the man, half for the wife. It's the whole thing is for both of them. What this has to do with inheritance of what Jesus inherited and everything that he had is ours. I mean, that should give us goosebumps. Because, just thinking about that is too much for our mind to grasp on. And this is not something that we have come yet into full evidence or a full manifestation. And we are going to see about that. But the thing is, this is going to be manifested. And the time, I believe, is not far from now. Because all the signs are there. We are getting closer and closer because there is more and more of that manifestation on earth, both in the darkness and in the light. We are getting there. And I'm getting excited. Because if I look back to my life, I can see the change that took place, not in myself, but in general. Darkness is much darker than even a few years ago. But light, the understanding of the word, the appropriation of the manifestation of some of the gifts that God has given us is so much more evident today than even 10 years ago. And it's going to get better. It's going to get better. So, verse 18 says, "For I consider the suffering of the present time not worthy," Romans 8:18, "to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed," where? In us. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus didn't just do something to forgive our sins. Oh, absolutely. That's great. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. But he did even more wonderful things. He wants us not to stay there, but to move on. And to move on in the possession of all the inheritance. So verse 19 says, "For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing," or you can translate that as the manifestation of the appearing of the sons of God. So the whole, and when it talks about the creation, it's not just talking about us wanting, it's the whole world. Everything that was created by God is waiting for this event to take place. And it says, "For the creation was subjected to futility," verse 20. "Not willingly, but because of him who subjected in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God," or the sons of God, what you want to call it. Praise the Lord. I mean, the whole thing is waiting for this time. Before, they've been waiting for the Messiah to come. The Messiah came. We know that. It made all the difference for us. God didn't stop there. He did what needed to be done, and now he's waiting. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting for us to come into the place that he prepared for us. That's what he wants. That's what he came for. That's what he wants. That's what the Father wants. That's why the Father gave his Son for us. Not just to make us so that we go around fighting sins all our life. but to overcome sin, to live as overcomers of sin, of sickness, and finally, even of death. He did that already, and he prepared for us to get into that direction and to manifest the same thing. He said, you know, this, the works that I do, you shall do also even greater works because I go to my Father. So this is, he went to the Father. Did he? Amen. And he did what he needed to be done so that the Spirit could come down to us so that we now have it. And if we don't have it, we better get it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So there's going to be a deliverance from all the bondage of corruption and weakness and sin and stuff like that is going to be manifested in the people that are going to be walking as children of sons of God. Okay. And it says, you know, the whole world is waiting for that. All creation is waiting for that. Because inside ourselves we know that this is not the way to be. There is a better place to be. Hallelujah. And it says, you know, that the, we know, our spirit knows that the whole creation groans and labors in birth pangs together until now. And until now is still keeping going, but I wonder how long more. You know, he said now then, but it's more now than then. Amen? Amen? All right. So the point is, you know, that there is not a manifestation yet the way it should. It start to be more of a manifestation. There are more miracles today. There are more people walking in the power of God today. It's not a question anymore of having some special ministers doing these things. Now believers start to act and do the things and get results. And there is a better understanding of what's going on. Now, the point is, you know, what happened and what is taking place now is taking place, and what has to take place is a transformation. It's not that one day, poof, you have this manifestation coming from nothing. There is a growth into that of the believer. We parallel the spiritual, the physical growth of a person that grows into maturity. See, we had to come as believer into maturity. We had to go to the place in which we start being who God made us to be because the other things have been eliminated from our life. In Galatians, talk about that. The transformation from children to sons. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "For I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave or a servant." Now, you know, what is a servant? A servant is somebody that you have to tell him what to do all the time. And lots of believers still are in that mentality that they had to go and to ask God what they had to do all the time to know what they had to do. That's not the behavior of a son of God. The son of God is going to do what is right because he knows that he's right and doesn't need because the Spirit is inside them and he's in communication and in contact with the Spirit and knows what to do. This is the natural behavior that he's going to have. Because, you know, it's like you know, a owner that has a business. And there is a son that is the son of the owner. And then there are the employees in the business. Well, the employees in the business generally are going to ask all the time what they had to do. Because otherwise, maybe they are fired. But the son is the son of the boss. He doesn't need to ask anybody. He knows what the father's business is, and he's going to do what the father wants. Because his father's business is his business. Are you there?
Yes.
See, when our father's business is our business, when it's done, we know exactly what to do. Why? Because he's our daddy. We know him. He knows us. We depend on him. And he depends on us. We are family. You see, that's the way it has to evolve. That's the way it has to grow. We have to go to the place when we know. How do we know that? Well, it's pretty simple. The Word tells us what the Father wants. When we become Word made flesh, when we become established and our mind is being renewed by the Word, that's what we are going to do. Let me continue here, because there is something in this verse that I want to continue. So I just read it again. Now, I say that the heirs, as long as he's a child, you see, he's a heir already, but as long as he's a child, he's the same as a servant. You know, he has to be told what to do. Kids, you know, don't step on the paddle. You know, you don't say that to a son. You tell it to a child. You start to have enough good sense to know that you don't go around there and splash and laugh and be all happy about it because you got all dirty. Hello? You know what to do because you are grown up. You are mature. Okay? So, as long as he's a child, he doesn't differ from a slave or a servant, though he is master of all. Actually, you know, some translation, the word there in Greek is kurios, which actually means Lord. So who is Lord of all? The Son. Us. We are Lord of all. He is the Lord of Lords. And the Lord of all is us. That's what he's saying. When we start taking the position that we should be taking, we are going to be Lord of all. I mean, of the old things, doesn't mean Lord of everybody else. Okay, let's clarify that. It means that we are master of the world around us, not of other people. We are still servants of other people. Out of our own desire and willingness. The same way as Jesus was. Jesus came as a servant, serving men to help them to be set free. This is our job as Lord of all. To take charge of the world around us and to help people to get delivered from the bondages of corruption. That's what he's saying. See, that's why God wants us to grow to that level. Verse 2, but is, Lord of all, still, you know, it says, okay, is still a slave, though he's a master of all, but is under a guardian and steward until the time appointed by the Father. So there is a time in which, you know, you can become free. What does depend where you are at spiritually, evidently, in terms of your understanding, in terms of where you are in your progression and spiritually. Even so, we were children were in bondage under the element of the world. That means, you know, all the rules of the Old Testament, they were based on physical things. See, now we walk with God. We don't just follow the law, but we follow the Spirit. That doesn't mean we go around sinning. That means that we are much more strict than the law. Because the Spirit wants holiness in us to be able to be close to God. So back with verse 3. So when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the law. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time has come, God sent his son, born of a woman, and born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we may receive the adoption as sons. So you see, the fact is we've been adopted in. This is a choice. You see, adoption is actually a choice that a person does to receive somebody as son. So God made that decision. And it's based on certain elements, some things that we have actually done. We have to believe, accept what Jesus has done so that we can become. You see, that's why he prepared the whole scheme for us, the whole approach. When we have done that, then we come into that relationship as adopted son. Okay? All right. Because if you are son, God has sent his Spirit, forth his Spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So if you are son, we saw before, that was also prophesied in the Old Testament, but if you are son, now your attitude, your feelings, your emotions toward the Father is Abba, Father. That means, you know, you are in the relationship with God, the way you're not afraid of God. God is Daddy. You know, when something goes wrong, or they do something wrong, they run away from God. That's not a spirit of adoption. That's a spirit of servant. I mean, yeah, he's going to fire me. The spirit of adoption ran to Daddy. Daddy, please help me. And goes crying to the Daddy and grab his leg. See, that's the type of spirit that we should manifest when we even do something wrong. He says, you know, he's greater than us. Even when we are unfaithful, he is faithful. Hallelujah. This is what makes all the difference for us. Our attitude changes. Our desire to connect with him is so much stronger. See, this is why all the hurts and the problem that we had on the physical, we should be able to overcome. Because his love is more than enough. His love is capable to wipe out all those stuff, those things. Hallelujah. This is the type of relationship that we should be establishing with him. As we grow into this relationship, you know, we become sons from being children. The more we are able to have that kind of a relationship with him, the more is going to be manifested, not in just that dimension. You know, that love is there to hold us closer to God and to want us to get closer to God. But that's not the only thing. It goes together with all the other things that the son, the first son, Jesus, had in the relationship with him. His behavior, his attitude, his ability, his spirit. That's what it said. He put his spirit inside us. Hallelujah. Therefore, verse 7, you are no longer a slave, but son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ. You see, this is just, that's what See, that's the love of the Father has made possible for us. And we have to have that experience. And God wants to have that for us, to have that experience, so that we can actually start walking it out. It start to be manifested in our lives. How are we going to receive that? By looking at our shortcomings and our mistakes? No way. It's by faith. It's by faith in what Jesus did, because what he did is more than enough for us to get there. And if we think that we cannot get there, that means that we believe that what Jesus did is not enough and we have to do something else. And that's religion. Are you following me? See, this is important to understand, because this is God's plan for us. This is where he wants us to move in. This is where we have to allow him. He's not going to force us. See, we cannot and should not control other people, but God is not going to control us either. He let us free. He wants us to choose to become his sons. And he has opened the door for us to get into his family. Amen. I mean, this is really the love of the Father. Can you see how much love that is? I mean, we didn't deserve it. But we don't look at ourselves. We had to stop looking at ourselves, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because he is the one that is going to bring us there. Because of what he has done, not for what we do. You are too quiet. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, this is... It's so exciting. It's so uplifting. It's so much that we can, people say, now I got born again. I'm going to do Bible study. It's much more than that. Then I say, now I got spirit filled. It's okay, now I'm going to use some gifts. It's much more than that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we are going to continue, because we just run out of time. Did you get anything today? All right. Well, there are some implications and some steps that we had to take. It's not automatic. See, nothing is automatic. We think, God does everything, God, we are co-workers with God. He does one step, and we do our step. And as we take our step, then he can take another step. And he can continue to do things for us as we are open to be willing to put the word to work for us. Essentially, what we do is we look at the word and we discover things that we didn't see before, because we have moved from a place where we were before to a new place, so we can see new things and we say, okay, do I believe that? And if you believe that, you start appropriating that. You start living that level that you discovered. And there are specific steps that God shows us in his word that help us to move from faith to faith and from glory to glory. See, this is what God wants to do. He wants to fill us with his glory. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think we should do some kind of a little testimony, a little confession here. It's always good to make appropriation, confession of things that God has done for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, let's do it. I am a believer. I'm not a doubter. I believe in Jesus Christ. In everything that he has accomplished on the cross and after when he was resurrected and went to the Father. He made the Holy Spirit come to me to fill me, dwell in me all the time. Wherever I go, he goes with me. He's not come, doesn't come and go. He dwells in my heart. And I praise you. I thank you for that. Because now I'm a son. I'm an adopted son. I have a relationship with the Father. I'm not afraid of the Father. He's my daddy. And I love him. And I know that he loves me. And so right now, I'm thankful for everything that he has done and everything that he's going to do in my life. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He forgives my sins. If I forget not all his benefits, because they are provided for me with Jesus' blood and resurrection. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. See you next week if you don't come Thursday. Thank you. Happy Father's Day to you.